Chairman or the president and his wife both didn't show up, so they passed along to me, and he didn't want to do it either. That I was going to do this. The first item of the agenda is approval of the previous meeting. All in favor, signify by saying aye. All business, project updates.
I'll go through what's in your packet. On page 2, we've got an update for the Washington Avenue Second Street Therapy Project. Alternative analysis. It's part of the environmental document development. It's been updated and submitted to the Federal Highway and SHPO comments. SHPO being the state's first provincial office. So they're looking at it from that perspective. Chicken Creek Greenway High Rail Corridor utility coordination is underway. The mid-levy connection, we had posted some RFPs, request for proposals to continue the design of that project. We received 6 proposals and they're currently under review. The Evansville Sign Inventory and Replacement Phase 2 of the project has received approval for design. So sometimes here in the people to get notes to the city after doing the design. The Green River Road, Kansas, at Green River Road, Kansas, depends on the harmony. The draft final categorical exclusion document was submitted to end up for review. Right-of-way engineering is underway. And the Ward County project, Lincoln Avenue, Phase 3, right-of-way activities are continuing with 25 of the estimated 99 parcels acquired. Draft changes to the minute. Over Road Phase 3, right-of-way engineering is underway. The State Road 61 connector, notice to proceed to construction has been issued and the pre-construction meeting was held on the 15th of October. I did get onto your sheet, but there is an update on the Sand Lane Safari School project. Kentucky Transportation Cabinet has approved the award to Knight Construction. So the pre-construction meeting held on the 30th of October. Notice to proceed was given on September 1st with a 90 calendar day completion time frame, and construction has started.
All right, we move on to item B, draft bicycle and pedestrian connectivity master plan.
Last month, Paul Wojciechowski from Alt Planning and Design was here, and he presented the draft bicycle and pedestrian connectivity master plan. Quickly highlight a few things from the plan. There's over 170 miles of recommended bike and pedestrian network improvements. Those improvements are various treatments on street, bike lanes, cycle tracks, buffered bike lanes, intersection improvements. In the plan, there's also a lot of policy level recommendations, kind of education pieces and enforcement pieces. There's also a list of early action steps that will help the city kind of start moving forward and getting the plan in the process of being implemented, projects from the plan being implemented. If anybody has any questions, we'll be happy to answer those. If not, we have to move forward with you.
For all the transit systems. approximately 11 inch reduction for much of the roof.
Michael Trovac and David Galvanet are here with the Watson members to present the draft COA, or Comprehensive Operational Analysis. The COA is an in-depth review of med services and operations, and the last comprehensive review of the meds was done in 1999, so it was long overdue. The COA began in May of 2014, and this is now under final review. Among many other tasks, the COA identifies opportunities to do services and opportunities and operational efficiencies that will enable MEDS to provide improved service for its riders. A resolution to approve the COA will be brought to the MCO Policy Board at the December meeting, and the draft final report is available for review at MEDSTransitStudy.info. And maybe we can get the presentation on the website.
Yes, well, as soon as we're done today, we'll probably post after the policy committee meeting. Well, quickly, because Rob very much covered what I was going to, I guess, as much as anything, and that's fine. Probably what I wanted to emphasize the most is that when you're conducting an analysis of this type, it's very important that it be framed within the context of a longer-term vision. And to me, you're always trying to take progressive steps towards reaching a longer-term goal. And clearly, not only did the MPO feel it very important, but to start meeting the needs of the public that's been expressing for quite some time. But there's an understanding that it takes time to get there. And so it came out loud and clear during the SEEK study that there was a desire for a more robust system and that there were improvements that needed to be made. And so when you're conducting an analysis like this and you get a snapshot in time and you look at everything from facilities to routes, there has to be kind of a step-by-step approach to get you to the future, but this study itself is basically, it's a five-year window to start you along the right path. And that's, again, that's something I wanted you to really fully kind of take in, because we know in the long term there are significant needs, and we really want to see a great system, that on in the short term, we've got to start moving in that direction, and that was done. Of course, I'll offer to you that during the presentation or at the end, we'll be more than happy to answer any questions you may have, and of course, we may lean on the MPO staff to step in on some of those questions as well. Michael Drobak was project manager. He doesn't forget much, but I think I even can say he's forgotten more about transit than I've ever known, but he will kind of walk you through the findings. At times, you are a technical group, but at times it might get more technical than you're able to grasp. Stop him at that moment and say, what do you mean by that? So with that, I'll turn it over to Mike.
Thanks very much, David. Okay. The next slide, actually the first slide. As David mentioned, we were just finishing the comprehensive operations analysis, and the document which is available for you on the website was actually fairly similar to something that was provided to the public. They were around the public review back in June and July, had a public information meeting, accepted comments. Probably the key change between that and the document which is provided now is that we recommended a single five-year service plan. We had in the draft various draft plans that supplement on a single five-year recommendation. As you mentioned, the last COA we had was in 1999. I don't say it's been a long time, but I happen to have been the project manager for that effort as well, and I have here about as thick as we should at the time, so it's come back. This review talked about a review which is really exemplars desire to be particularly thorough in this effort, route schedules, operations, and physical assets. Final report was provided in September, and there is some minor modifications made to what was provided to you last week. So, next slide. found significant opportunities for improvements in service. We're going to go through these various categories. I'll just show you here, this is approximately 32 specific route recommendations. So there's a lot of opportunities for improved service. Some of this involves some economies, taking the resources you have and running them better. But some of it, a lot of them kind of capture the vision from the city plan saying, how do we make, and this was a charge from the mayor at the outset, how do you make transit within Evansville a part of the overall transportation system, the same way we think about not only highways, but bicycles, pedestrians, which was another major current issue. And sometimes I might say the last point here, not all of this can be addressed within a 5-year time frame, just as any, say, 4-year TIP might identify that there are some needs we cannot fund within a 5-year, within that is 4-year time frame. We're saying some of these needs, they are needs, but from a long-range perspective, take a little time to get to. Next slide, please. Now, there are some challenges to get there. The words of the picture on food is really one of them. We're going to get into details on some of these points. Now, probably the organization of staffing needs are among the most pressing. Let me just say at the outset, Rick Wilson, Kerry Camp, the other folks who are there, we've been particularly impressed with their dedication and their hard-working, can-do approach to keeping things going. But I will just say a couple of things. One, there's just simply not enough hours in the day. We do make some recommendations around staffing. But also, transit is a business, and it has certain unique business practices which, frankly, the present staff doesn't have. So some of the recommendations should say there are certain knowledge and skills in business and transit operations which our recommendations seek to address. Also, need for small over-the-air fare increases, mobility service, the cost of it are far higher as a proportion of Met's operations than other similar systems around the state. And of course, any change will impact some existing routes. That's just the nature of it. Next slide, please. Now, to get into some of the specifics, we need to consider the service plan recommendations in context. I mean, what really is the most exciting part is down here, the lines on the map. Sunday service, improved service on the northern side, express service, realigning routes, evening service. But what we're trying to say loud and clear is that organizational needs, operating efficiencies really need to be implemented to support that. Simplifying the routes and schedules is a very significantly, frankly, compared to other systems, not only of this size, but much larger. Met's pattern of routes and schedules are quite confusing. I've got some interesting information as to just how confusing we're with labor. So Met's mobility costs are high compared with its peers. Indiana Department of Transportation classifies the 8 largest urban fixed route systems as its Class 1 systems. Evansville is one of those 8. The 7 other NDOT Class 1 systems, only one of those systems have their mobility, which is their demand response, in other words, ADA service, has over 15% of their cost. 4 of the other 7 are between 3 and 10%. In this case, most recent figures is 25%. And we've got some specific suggestions that we feel will address that. So this is one of the areas where, compared with its peers, we think there are opportunities to realize some efficiencies. Next slide, please. The ways of the existing 6th of next week is a major hindrance to expanding service. When we took a snapshot at a point in time, which is now January this year, when we were really compiling all these data, 36 buses in the fixed ground fleet, 18 of those 36 were at or beyond what FTA, Federal Transit Administration, recommends as a useful life. In other words, it says, and again, there's, you know, a mixture of smaller cutaway and large transit vehicles. What FTA says is the useful life of those vehicles, half of the next fleet were at or beyond, and in some cases a number of years beyond, it's actually resulting in added maintenance costs on an annual basis that, again, you can argue over the figures, but I say arguably it's up to be six figures annually as to the maintenance costs being higher than they should be just because of the age of the fleet. We recommended bus purchase accelerations. There have been some steps taken to that. Even, I believe, in September, there was a TIF amendment to that effect. It showed that, you know, the transit bus is not a cheap item. What the latest TIF amendment showed was a little over $450,000 is the average cost of a 12-year 30-foot transit bus like that's out there. So this is going to take time. And one of the things you'll see, some of the ability to implement improvements requires first that the fleet get in shape, so in particular improvements that add to the peak fleet requirements. So what's the largest number of buses you have to run over the course of the day? That's a constraint in the initial years of the 5-year plan. Next slide. We have recommendations for existing staff. Two positions, extraordinary societies. I keep repeating this phrase, standard business practice. Within the transit business, you need people with expertise in route planning, scheduling, marketing. For example, who keeps the website up to date? Nobody. Who provides schedules? Nobody. Who is there who can meet with community groups that have, want to see improved transit service? There are no such individuals resonating on staff. And in particular for the route planning and scheduling aspect of it, there are probably significant efficiencies that can be realized once someone who understands transit scheduling practices is hired on staff. Also, we're recommending that Evansville become what's known as a public transportation corporation. Indiana state law allows the local legislative body, in this case the Common Council, by ordinance to establish a public transportation corporation. It becomes a separate entity. The mayor and the council appoint board members. It has the ability to levy AM, the levy of property tax, and in that way it establishes a degree of managerial independence. Within Indiana, the other seven refund systems are all public transportation corporations and have been such for over 30 years. And I know fairly well most of the general managers around the state, and they are all, you know, kind of unanimously saying, this is a method of governance which, yes, we're responsible, you know, our board members are appointed by the mayor and city council, but it gives you a degree of managerial discretion, as well as a local source of money that's a much better way than the tax rate. Next slide, please. Fares haven't gone up since 1999. If fares is else here, they just kept it with inflation. Base fare is now $1. They're recommending an increase to $1.25. If fares had just kept pace with inflation in the last 17 to 16 years, they would be around $1.40. They're also recommending a future transfer charge and future fare increases tied to inflation. What would this mean on recent decades? What it would have meant is that you had about a dime increase every 45 years. That's kind of historic. But we're just saying it should become part of the business continuum as costs go up, as the cost of living goes up, that you have manageable changes which occur not every year, but every several years. just simply to keep up the fair revenues with inflation. Next slide, please. A couple of recommendations on Wilson Mobility. First of all, key statistic here. Every trip that's served on Wilson Mobility costs about $42. That's using net statistics for the last few years that they reported their TA. They break down their costs by fixed route and mobility service. This is in rough terms, $42 on the mobility versus about $3 on the fixed route. In other words, providing a trip on the mobility service is 14 times more expensive than on fixed route. One of the things we propose is that if you are eligible under ADA, the mobility service will be always available to you. However, if you choose the nature of the trip, it's a nice stay out, you can do this if you ride the fixed route service, you get to ride the bus for free. Grand Rapids, for example, has been doing this for a while, longer than Indiana has been. I've been up to Grand Rapids, and they said they figured it led to a 20% decrease in the demand for their ADA service. We're projecting that if this were just simply to give our ADA eligible riders an option, it'd be close to $300,000 in annual savings. And that also does something that frankly no other system I know of does. And they have this category called convenience fare. It's been difficult to get a precise definition, but basically if you're over 60 and you can make a representation that under certain conditions it's hard for you to make a trip to access the bus route, you don't meet the requirements of the Americans with Disabilities Act, but we will serve you anyway. As I said, there's no other system in Indiana or anywhere that I know that offers this sort of service. We're proposing that these riders, existing riders, are grandfathered in, they can use the fixed route service for free, but that would be their service option, and no one that can use riders would be certified. This would be sort of about a $228,000 annual savings. Okay, I'm going to go now a little bit more quickly through each of the service recommendations we have. Some service, this is probably the most frequently requested improvement. And the add about this cost, this is the one service improvement where we have a look at just the direct operating costs for operators, fees, and so forth. That $365,000, about two-thirds, $135,000 is direct operating costs, bus operators, fuel, maintenance. Another $44,000 is managerial costs. In other words, if somebody's got to be there to supervise the system at the mess garage, you need some limited operations and maintenance staffing. And another $86,000 just because you're running the mobility service on Sunday. So this reflects all of those factors. And again, what we're showing in each case, you can't run this on overtime. You need to hire more bus operators. They're saying you have to hire a few more bus operators in order to operate a Sunday service. And all these percentage increases, that's the percent increase in vehicle miles. So we see this on all the slides. And that relates to vehicle miles. Next slide. One of the other big areas, and it really is obviously without the public input, first of all, the route patterns on the northeast side right now is rather confusing. You have two routes for Lynch Valley and the Walnut Loop that operate large one-way routes. You have to know, like, it's this bus coming in and this bus going out, and services, a lot of cases, just operating in one direction on the street. We're saying replace these routes with one-way service. This is going to cost an extra bus in the fleet, and we have a recommendation for consolidation of two side routes at the same time in September of next year that we provide that bus. That's right. We're also proposing, and this is something identified in the seed planning, we really see this as being an opportunity to open up the USI market, not just to students, but especially to employees, to begin operating a weekly service once an hour between the downtown terminal and USI. We'd like to have a mid-route stop. We're just going to the Skip Transfer Center. We're going to have to look at details, and let's not look at details of operations and running time to make sure that fits in the schedule. This would be once an hour, roughly 12 hours a day, again, two more bus operators. And part of our plan also calls for consolidation of routes 512 on the bus side. And again, the bus to operate this service would be provided by this consolidation we mentioned a little later. Okay, there are two areas where we identified that you have routes that are very close to each other. They duplicate to a large extent. Non-duplicated segments have fairly, and actually generally quite low ridership. Now, we're showing, and what you just noticed, these would say together for 370,000 annual operating costs. But as a last comparison, the last bill revenue, the thing that we're going to be some rides on these fully paid tax segments, no longer will be riding. But your last period is only about 2.5% of your savings in operating costs. Now, during our public input process, we received literally no comments on this east side consolidation. The west side consolidation, something you may be aware of, there's quite a lot of public input provided. So our proposal is that the east side consolidation proceed as recommended in March, but that the west side consolidation just need to stay and really ask for next step. Although I would just add that the bus to that consolidation required would basically be going from three buses on those combined routes to two is needed to provide the USI Express service. Next slide. Now, the metro structure is very confusing. Now, probably the key finding from the market research survey we did was that if you haven't made it your business to really understand the Met system, even though they make the lines on the map very close to where you live, it's too confusing, you can't understand it. A couple of other consultants on our team who are also very experienced transit professionals, and I all have the same opinion. It's not just simply that they wander all over the map, but that the variations in what buses do on different trips is very confusing. There are some routes that may have two buses operating, each of them once an hour, since we actually have half-hour service. But the inbound and outbound trips are different, and the trips that leave downtown at 15 after the hour and 45 after the hour are different. So on one route, you have four different routing variations. One of the things I know, Jerry particularly emerging upon is, you know, even though in Chicago or any place to go to Google Transit, it will display the bus, it will provide you trip planning information on your smartphone. The technical folks that you had helping us on this said, you know, the presence, not only the confusing nature of the routes, complicated nature of schedules, as well as the amount of time points or such, we don't believe Google Transit can be successfully operated using the current bus routes and schedules. And I know those people out in California are pretty bright and make a lot of money, but the fact that our bus routes and schedules have confused them to this extent, I think just tells you it needs to really straighten out these routes. And again, I'm spending a little extra time on this. So we have recommendations as to how we rationalize the schedules, eliminate the A and B variation designation, emphasize the route number. But one thing that we're also doing as a short-term item is rerouting the First Avenue over to Ivy Tech so that this would provide service every 30 minutes starting time instead of every 60 minutes as is present. So we'd be doubling service starting time under this recommendation. Also, we're recommending that the US 31 route east of the US 41 route connection, rerouting over to North Park, transfer center, getting more routing, more opportunities to transfer, but Rocket Field should be doing better than it is. Next slide. Just very briefly, a number of improvements recommended after 2016. Doing service on the northeast side, if you look at Lincoln and basically east of US 41, there's no bus service at 6 o'clock. Needs to be a little service out there. Crosstown service on Green River Road, this would be an opportunity to connect between routes without having to come all the way downtown. More frequent service on First Avenue, and express service from Warren County to transfer point with the Warren County service and downtown. So all the changes together, we're talking about an 18% increase in the amount of service units operates. And this is really a very, very significant improvement in service. Two more slides. Next slide, please. One of the tasks, and you've got about a 20-page technical report as one of the appendices, looking into the issues, or looking into what's needed to bring about a service between Evansville and Henderson. And we basically identified that this includes interviews with about a dozen peer properties, and who's going to operate it, what they could be operating, how you would structure costs and revenue sharing, legal and liability issues associated with interstate operations, and how you operate ADA alternative service. This is potentially a big one, because the ADA regulations are drastically still under a major review. We have a public input process on the federal level. But there is a reasonable chance that these new regulations may require that, okay, once you operate the service, somebody has to be able to get onto a ADU van, say, downtown Henderson, and if they've got a medical appropriate mover, that van will take them all the way out. In other words, it wouldn't just be to connect on here and something like that. And frankly, even checking with the FTA office in Chicago, we haven't made them together an answer other than, well, actually, plan out your service in detail, and then we'll tell you what you have to do. Which, you know, the government didn't tell us to do that, so. And again, a couple other things to postpone past 2020, more frequent weekly service on several routes, and another cross-town service on Oakland Wyandotte. Those would have to be, we're recommending for after this five-year plan was unleashed, but really it would be something that would not be appropriate to try to do within the next 5 years. Next. Now, to add up in a nutshell, I put this slide here because, to our knowledge, few if any of these were included in the recent assumptions for the next budget for 2016. So I think this slide is a great where the money going to come from. What we've identified that between the fare increases, the efficiencies from mobility operations, the route consolidations, it's almost $1,400,000 in potential added transit funding. It's, I don't want to say simple because it's a piece of community that will have to run for election, but it simply requires an ordinance of the Evansville County Council in order to enact the necessary things, change a fair policy on the mobility system. But there is an opportunity there for significant funding, which right now is not on the table. So that kind of summarizes what the potential is. And we wouldn't sort of end with that to say, if this is just at least in the short term, they're worthless, there are actions that can be taken. It's just a matter of the decisions they made going forward. So that is really the summary of our presentation. I know there's a lot here. Many want to go back and review the report that happens with some questions that gave them a ride. Can anyone ask any questions at this point in time? Thank you.
committee has things.
We don't have like a decision on that. If there's no more questions or any questions on my today,
I will just have to say our presentation, make sure you have it for this afternoon. So. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate everyone's interest. Looking into eye contact and body language, you thought this was important. You were listening. I appreciate that. And, as I said, we certainly have, because this is going to come back to you all next month, and the follow-up. I will probably say it, probably go to the tempo if there's any questions and follow-up in that. Can we do it that way?
Absolutely. If you've got any questions, comments, just send it to us. And we can forward it. Moving on to item B, FY 2016-2019 Fifth Amendment.
The First Amendment is to the City of Henderson. It's adding Waltham Lane, it's the one for the U.S. adding PD to fiscal year 2016. The cost is $380,000. It's estimated cost. It should be funded with an 80-20 FTP and mobile match. I just want to say that the right-of-way inspection will be added. We'll see if it's important on the road and we'll have a chance to look at the project and just come to the limit. Time frame is going to be in what the best unit can be. But right now we're just getting to the community to consult the board to take a look at it. We have two amendments for the city transportation tablet. The first is the 21 intersection with 2012. It's an upgrade at different lighting up turn lanes and a signal update. We're revising the 2017 construction estimate from $530,000 to $950,000, and it is 100% STP funding utilizing Kentucky's full credit as a match. And then to get that additional funding for the 41 Kentucky 812 project, we are modifying or making amendments to the 41 intersection of Hope Hills Road. We're moving construction from 2016 to 2019. And then we are adding Moore County, the Bell Road project from 5.5 to Telephone Road. It's a road widening at travel from shoulders and by some pedestrian accommodations to the pattern drainage. We're adding a PE in 16 at an estimated cost of $150,000. Right now, the PE cost will be funded 100% mobile. And again, with this one, we're going to get a couple of board members in the right of way and construction will be and how much money we will be back in the administration at that time. Are there any questions?
If you have a question, I need a motion. All in favor, please remember saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Item C, for 2016-2019 administrative modification.
This is an administrative modification, so we don't need to let people, but we're going to need to make sure that you have that information. A Green River Road project, it's a local project, it's taking construction from the Kansas to the Newborn Academy. We had in the tip that it was going to be federally funded. It was not the intention of the Kansas they use federal funds in the right one. So we're making that change to ensure that the right-of-way costs of 1.5 million are going to be kind of central for the project.
All right, we need to public comment. It's not, I got one. I was going to put it on the agenda, but
Thank you.
Thanks. Thursday.